This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rockin' Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Thanks for being with us, everybody. It's a Trash Tuesday. And so I want to hear from you guys. What are you trashing? Who are you trashing? Hit me up on the phones, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I would imagine somebody wants to take out today a little bit of trash on the Astros or Rob Manfred. I mean, come on here, guys. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Scary wreck at the end of the Daytona 500 last night. Denny Hamlin ends up winning his third Daytona 500, and he's going to join us next hour. But just as he crosses the finish line, just behind him, Ryan Newman's car flips, barrel rolls through the air, crashes, fiery wreck, and they have to go and extricate him from the car. They have to put up black screens around it so that the crowd can't see them removing him from the car. It was terrifying. Of course, as it happened, people are hoping for the best, but worrying about the worst. And he is then airlifted to the hospital. Thankfully, we got news overnight that his injuries are not life-threatening. Thankfully, Ryan Newman's injury is not life-threatening. He is in serious condition right now, but not life-threatening. If we and as we get updates on his status, we will obviously bring them to you. But the crash was terrifying. The flames, the wreckage, the barrel rolls, the collision with another car while it was in the air. I mean, every part about it was really, really scary. So thankfully, Ryan Newman is not in life-threatening situation, critical condition. Instead, he's in serious condition. So hopefully everything will be okay. Again, we will give you the updates of that as we get them this morning on the show. Denny Hamlin will join us in the wake of that coming up next hour. This hour, in about 15 minutes from now, we are stunned to a news. And in about 40 minutes, it's Soundcheck, your best audio of the day. And that includes the Gresh Show last night here on CBS Sports Radio, taking quite a number of pot shots at us, apparently, including our old update anchor, Jay Berman, who, look, I think both Mraz and I consider a friend, but sounds like that we got some friendly fire coming our way from him. So we'll play that coming up for you. I've not heard it yet later on in this hour. Rumor out there that the Oakland Raiders, now the Las Vegas Raiders, will be offering Tom Brady 2 years at $60 million, $30 million per. Are the Raiders then the front runners to sign Tom Brady? I honestly believe that Tom Brady is kicking the tires on leaving. I don't think this is just a kind of window dressing to then ultimately come back to New England. I think Tom Brady has a lot of desire to move on. And that sounds weird because he's won 6 titles in New England. He's been crowned as one of the greatest football players ever in New England. Obviously, he's forever going to be associated with the Patriots. It seems weird to say he would want to leave. But I do really believe this. I believe that Tom Brady has hit the end of the line of... When I say this, it sounds wrong, but feeling underappreciated. I don't think that the Patriots underappreciate Tom Brady. I think in his mind, he wants to feel the love somewhere else. He wants a new jolt. You know, sometimes you got to freshen up your marriage, your relationship. You've been in it for a couple of decades, and sometimes you just need a little bit of a refresher in some way, shape, or form. And I think that's what Brady is going through. I don't think you have this many dalliances. I don't think you have this much flirtation. I don't think you put this much out there without truly wanting to see how it feels to be loved by somebody else. I really believe that about Brady. Now, I'm not saying he absolutely leaves. He may very well come back. But I believe in his mind, he has felt as though he has done right by the organization for 20 years, and it's time to feel the love that all these other guys do if and when they challenge the open market. When he is watching Matt Ryan and Matt Stafford and Eli Manning get all of these huge bucks, when he watches guys go on free agent tours and realize they're a fraction of who he is as a player, and they're getting all of this love and adoration from GMs. I mean, look, it's not easy to play for Bill Belichick. While I think Belichick does have a relationship with his players on a personal level, I think what you see is a hard stone exterior that's hard to puncture, and you have to love the grind to love New England. And you can't love in New England. I think you have to love the winning and the process and the grind and the satisfaction you get internally from being your best. You can't love being loved up. That's why all these players leave and say it was no fun there. Everybody likes to be appreciated. And in New England, even Tom Brady at times feels underappreciated. So I really believe all of this, selling his house in New England, his agent selling his house or his trainer selling his house there as well, setting this up to be a free agent and doing little things like flirting about, will I leave? Will I won't leave? Liking an Instagram post about Philip Rivers becoming a free agent and leaving the Chargers. All of these things and him not squashing any of it leads me to believe that, yes, he really does want to see what's out there and he wants to feel that. And I don't blame him for that at all. I think what's interesting is this concept that the Patriots desperately want him back. That Robert Kraft saying, I'm praying that Tom Brady returns. I'm praying. Feels over the top to me. It has felt over the top like, well, you don't have to pray for him to return. You just have to match whatever offer he gets out there or pay him the most money, and he definitely will return. So it almost feels like Robert Kraft is setting up this PR campaign of, you know, there's just nothing we could do. You know, I was really praying that he was going to return, but there's just nothing we can do about it. Tom wanted to follow his heart somewhere else. Because Christian Fourier played with Tom Brady and won Super Bowls with the Patriots. And he is a member of WEEI Radio, our sister station in Boston. And Christian Fourier is really closely connected with that organization still. And said, quote, I believe the Patriots are 100% done. I think the Patriots are okay and ready to move on. I think the Patriots knew they weren't signing him before the season started. I don't think they even want him for $13 million. I don't think they want him, period. I think that Brady knows it. Why do you like a tweet from the Chargers? Well, this is interesting commentary from a guy that's pretty closely associated with the Pats. That they don't want him, that they've moved on. And when you combine that with Robert Kraft saying, I'm just praying he comes back. I want him to be a Patriot for life. I hope that he either retires or he comes back with us. It's a little melodramatic here. And because of everything that I just laid out, I believe the Raiders are the front runners for Tom Brady's services. And I say that over the Chargers, not because I think he'd rather be a Raider than a Charger. I don't know that. but I think that the Raiders are more willing to pay more money. The Spanoses has always been known as cheapskates. And Mark Davis, Al Davis's son, who has inherited this organization, has already spent crazy money on the coach. I mean, giving John Gruden $100 million is insane. It is total insanity. $100 million? So if he's already willing to cut that check, and he's not made of money, but he's going to Las Vegas because he got his stadium, it would not surprise me at all if the Raiders are willing to go 2 years for $60 million and totally overpay for Brady at $30 million per. Now, to them, it's not overpaying because they want relevancy and they know ticket sales, and that gives them that bump in Las Vegas. And imagine Tom Brady playing in Vegas for the Raiders. That becomes instant wow factor, sizzle factor. But I don't know if the Chargers are willing to go that price. And is he a $30 million quarterback anymore? He is not. He's not a $30 million quarterback. Not at 43 years old, not after the season that he had last year. So I think the Raiders are the front runners because they're going to be willing to pay the most. And I don't think that Brady wants to go to Tennessee, no offense. I don't think he ends up wanting to go to Indianapolis. I think he wants a market that feels important in some way. Vegas feels important because it's Vegas, because it's the show, because the Raiders are going there to open up the stadium and start a brand new era there. And the Chargers feel important because it's L.A. Not the Chargers, but the city feels important when you're there. I think that's the only places that Brady's leaving his coziness of the Patriots. But this is really interesting if Foria is right and the Patriots have already moved on, that they want him to go somewhere else, and he knows it. Because then this idea that, well, he'll just test the waters, dip his toe in, and come back to the Patriots. Well, then that can't really happen, that there is no come back to the Patriots. Now, I don't know if the Patriots think that Jarrett Stidham is the guy. I highly doubt that. I don't know if they have a game plan in free agency where they have somebody already targeted. Maybe they do. I mean, they're really, really smart like this. They have thought five steps ahead. But if you were asking me today, gun to my head, what do I think? I don't think Tom Brady's a Patriot next year. I don't. Because I think he's going to feel the love somewhere else way more than he's going to get in New England, and he's going to like that, and he's going to take that. And I don't blame him. Look, if I was 43 years old at quarterback and I got $60 million somewhere, people say, well, he doesn't need the money. Look, you can always use $60 million. If somebody's at 43 and 44 going to pay me $30 million to play in the NFL, I'll take it. And this idea that he shouldn't tarnish his legacy, come on. Emmitt Smith is still the all-time leading rusher. Johnny Unitas is still one of the greats of all time. Nobody remembers Joe Namath as a Ram. Nobody thinks of Jerry Rice as a Seahawk. I mean, it's a moment in time that you get a lot of money, and basically you get rewarded for what you used to do. I don't blame those guys for that at all. Yes, he doesn't need the money, but for $60 million, that's a lot of cash to play football. It's not taking money to be a joke. And not taking money to be in some lame advertising campaign and not some cheap check that you're getting. You're playing football. I wouldn't blame him one bit if he took that cash. And I don't think he's coming back to the Patriots. Mraz, would you say Raiders or Chargers are your leader in the clubhouse for signing Brady away if he left?
I still lean Chargers because I lean L.A., his wife, his acting friends, all of that. And I know Vegas isn't that far, but the idea of being in L.A. and starting that next career, kind of like what LeBron's doing, although LeBron is still able to win there. As far as the Raiders go, I get it if they throw and outbid and Tom Brady wants all that more money, but I really don't think from a football standpoint, Tom Brady has more to offer in 2020 than Derek Carr does. I don't believe that. I think the Raiders are a better football team with Derek Carr quarterback than with Tom Brady.
Brady sells more tickets in Vegas.
Absolutely.
Brady makes them more important in Vegas.
No question. More season tickets. Wow, I could see Tom Brady and I have a football team in Vegas. The cachet is there over Derek Carr. I'm talking about, and obviously Tom Brady's a better all-time quarterback than Derek Carr. I'm talking about, at his age, what I saw him bring to the table last year, and not that I'm making Derek Carr out to be all-world, all-pro, but what I saw Derek Carr do. Remember, the Raiders were in this thing for a long time last season. I think Derek Carr is the better football move quarterback for the Raiders than Tom Brady.
Best football situation for Brady, is it staying with the Patriots, Raiders, or Chargers?
On that note, I think the Raiders are actually the better football situation, mainly because...
Better than the Chargers? I think the Chargers' roster's better.
But here's the thing. The Chargers have a zillion big free agents that they're losing here. I mean, Derwin James will come back, and that's a mega piece at safety. But outside of that, there's no guarantee that the Chargers are going to have any key piece on offense back, and that was a major, major problem for Tom Brady in New England. I mean, are they going to bring in Tom Brady, pay him, and now they're going to suddenly sign Melvin Gordon? They're going to make sure Keenan Allen stays under contract?
Well, I don't think you need to sign Melvin Gordon.
No, but my point is, I don't think the cast around Tom Brady and the Chargers, I think we're banking on what we saw the Chargers 2 years ago.
Yeah.
They are on the verge of everything coming off the books, basically, for them. So, no, I don't think it's a better football situation with the Chargers. I think the Raiders are on the come right now.
I think the Raiders are building something, but, I mean, if Tom Brady joins a team that has Derwin James and Bosa and a pair of pretty decent running backs and pretty decent wide receivers.
Sure, and I'm sure that's appetizing. That's what the Chargers want, and the Chargers want to spin, but I think next year the Raiders are more poised or have a more higher probability of getting to the postseason than the Chargers.
One thing that I've heard that I don't buy is that Tom Brady wouldn't want to join a division with the Chiefs in it. I don't think that...
Why?
I don't think that bothers
him. Oh, he hasn't had enough years playing in divisions with bad quarterbacks?
Well...
And the competitor in him, does he want to go at Mahomes twice a year?
Exactly. You know, I've read or heard of this idea. Well, he wouldn't want to go to Mile High once a year because he didn't ever play there. And the Chiefs right now are a powerhouse. He wouldn't want to play them twice. And I just don't buy that. I don't think that Tom Brady makes a decision based on what he thinks he isn't. I think he bases his decision on what he still thinks he is.
Also, if that's any part of his mindset, then he would try his damnedest to stay with New England because that still presents the best divisional situation. If this is about a combination of highest money and can win, then I don't think he cares about going out to the West. And who cares? If he's a wild card, who cares?
I really only think there's three destinations for him, these three. I really only think it's Vegas, L.A., or New England.
Yeah, people want to say Tennessee, Vrabel, and everything, but why would he go play for the Tennessee? Like, what is the cachet of playing for the Tennessee Titans?
I don't think he's going to consider Nashville. I don't think he's going to consider Tampa Bay. I don't think he's going to consider Indianapolis. I don't think any of those are realistic.
I totally agree. Also, I think the Peyton Manning thing of going to Indianapolis, where Peyton Manning basically built that stadium, and that was his biggest rival. I can't see him knowing that this is possible. He could fail in Indy. If he looked at it that way, no way.
855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. It's a Trash Tuesday. Our toll-free line sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home, hard work. Get a quote, GEICO.com. Easy. Robert is in Oklahoma on a Trash Tuesday on Sirius XM, Channel 206. Robert, good morning. Who are you trashing?
Good morning, D.A. I'm trashing the T.A. truck stop for not having biscuits and gravy for breakfast this morning. It's an outrage.
Now,
it's a total outrage.
I love biscuits
Everyone
and gravy
knows,
as well, yeah. But do they oftentimes have this? Do they usually have it?
Every day. It's available when they're open. The other thing I want to trash is any restaurant for truckers that doesn't open for breakfast at 5 a.m., instead they open at 7, it's an outrage.
No.
Open America clocks in at 7 o'clock.
No, that's right. That's absolute. Trash them. Yep. Correct. Number one, if you offer biscuits and gravy, you must then have biscuits and gravy. If you show up to a place expecting biscuits and gravy and they are already out or they're not doing it that day, unacceptable. Number two, truckers drive through the night. You can't start breakfast for truckers at 7 a.m. No way. You and I, Mraz, can't be up earlier than truckers should be able to get breakfast.
I totally agree. Look, there's so many places that should just offer the 24-hour situation.
That's right.
Truckers are on the clock at all times. And by the way, not just breakfast, all meals. You want to get a quarter pounder with cheese at 4 a.m. or you want to get an Egg McMuffin at 4 a.m., you should be able to do that.
Now I want biscuits and gravy.
I mean, how great would that be? How about forget the gravy?
Sausage gravy.
Forget gravy for a second. But just a nice Popeye's biscuit right now.
Mmm. Mmm. Oh. My goodness.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Robert Topeka tweets, if you're over the age of 12 and use Instagram filters to put these ridiculous animal faces over yours, take a lap. You don't look cool. You don't look original. It makes you look like a fool. We don't need to see fake bunny ears on your pictures. Trash Tuesday. Matt tweets, I'm trashing drivers who drive their vehicles for miles with their turning signals on with no intentions of changing lanes. Arteta's hair tweets, I'm trashing any suggestion that the DA Mraz partnership will not last. Hashtag the heroes we deserve. That is so frustrating. I agree. Rob tweets, and I'm trashing the guy who brought ribs to Mraz's party. If he brought marinade from Amazon, get him out. Come to the barbecue capital, Kansas City. We will make our own marinade and rubs. Amazon is for amateurs. All of that is your trashes today. We want more of your trashes. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, we are stunned to a news. The DA Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Hey, good morning, DA. First off, I want to say I'm really loving you on Instagram. Loving your posts.
We've had some Twitter affairs here and there.
And videotaping on YouTube and Facebook.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
So many ways you can connect with the show on social media. You can watch us on YouTube every single day. Go there and watch the best of clips on YouTube. Just search CBS Sports Radio. Also, you can follow me on Instagram at Damon Amendo for behind the scenes of the DA Show on IG. Also, you can check us out on Twitter and send us your trashes, DA on CBS. Coming up in Soundcheck, your best audio of the day, 15 minutes from now. Sounds like last night the Gresh Show went in on us. Mraz, scale of 1 to 10, was it a real burn fest or like midway for like a Gresh Show, which is like a 5?
You know what? I think it was midway for a Gresh Show. I think the real burn came at the very end from Jay Berman, which I thought was a little uncalled for. But it was, you know, Gresh, it's the typical Gresh nonsense. Look at me. I'm skinny now. Used to be fat. Let me make fun of everybody else. I was friends with everybody, but they're lazy and they're fat. You know, it's the Gresh thing.
You thought the Berman shot, though, was personal.
Yes, because here's the thing. With Gresh, I know sometimes Gresh is playing to his crowd, playing to his audience. He likes having fun, even though sometimes it's the same old tired act. But Berman at the end slides in what I think is some truth behind what he feels and is not playing radio shtick.
It wouldn't surprise me if Jay Berman did not like us.
Right.
Which is weird because I like him.
And I've gone on trips with Jay.
Annual Giants road trips. Will you do that again this year?
I'm hoping, but I got to be honest. I don't see Jay as much, and a little more hate towards me on Twitter in recent memory. We had a slight fallout after a Joey Waller wedding that I don't think he quite healed from. But I don't know. There's some truth behind what Jay Berman's saying. I don't like it.
Was that because you said something on the air about what happened at that wedding?
Yes, he gave a very uncomfortable speech where he made a very uncomfortable joke that fell on deaf ears, and I told the radio world what it was all about. He felt it should have been kept at the wedding.
Right. All right, so that's coming up as part of Soundcheck at about 15 minutes from now. But standing by with our headlines right now on a Trash Tuesday is our friend Brad Heller. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, DA. This report sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Easy. Denny Hamlin's going to be on the show next hour talking about a second straight Daytona 500 win, third time in 5 years, a photo finish with Ryan Blaney, but also a scary finish. Ryan Newman's car flipped and burst into flames as it crossed the finish line. Here is NASCAR's Executive Vice President, Steve O'Donnell.
Ryan Newman is being treated at Halifax Medical Center. He's in serious condition, but doctors have indicated his injuries are non-life-threatening. We appreciate your thoughts and prayers and ask that you respect the privacy of Ryan and his family during this time.
Newman's wreck coming 19 years after the crash that killed Dale Earnhardt at Daytona. College basketball, number 3 Kansas has won 11 in a row, 91-71 over Iowa State. The Jayhawks 12-1 in the Big 12, still a game behind Baylor, and the Jayhawks will visit Baylor coming up on Saturday. North Carolina, again, blowing a double-digit lead. They were up 15 with under 9 minutes to go, lost to Notre Dame, 77-76. Nate Lashevsky, the go-ahead three with 1.8 seconds to go. That's now a season-high 6 straight losses for Roy Williams Tar Heels. 3 of the last 4 coming on last-second shots.
You got 2 choices. You can compete your butt off, or you can get up in the fetal position and curl up and start crying. I'm not going to freaking do that. We're going to excuse me.
Whoa!
I apologize to everybody. We're going to freaking compete.
Roy!
That's dadgummit Roy, who's never cursed in his life.
Yeah.
And he cursed at a press conference that just slipped. That guy's never, ever cursed, right?
It's about dadgums and freaking and...
Yeah. Even freaking is
a little bit. That's a lot, yeah.
It's usually flipping, I think.
3-12 in the ACC, that'll do it to anybody.
Well,
last place.
Either Roy Williams is more mad and frustrated today than he's ever been in his coaching career, or he's putting on a bit of a show because they're so bad. And he wants a show that he really cares.
You're waiting for Carolina to turn it around and knock off somebody in the top 25, string together a couple wins, maybe approach 500 overall for a potential NIT bid, potentially go on a run in the ACC tournament. I mean, this is just like the bottom has fallen out.
Listen to this. UNC is the worst team in the ACC. North Carolina is in last place in the ACC.
There are bad teams in the ACC.
North Carolina is 10-16 overall, which is the sign of an awful team. They are 3-12 in conference. Wake is better. Miami is better. Pitt is better. Va-Tech is better. Georgia Tech is better. BC is better. Notre Dame is better. Clemson's better. And all those teams are sub-500 in the conference. North Carolina is one of the worst power conference teams in America. I don't want to say Roy Williams is a phony, but sometimes I feel like he's a phony. And for him to have to apologize for something he said last night, I mean, I kind of feel like he's putting on a bit of a show there.
Don't forget, there was also earlier in the season where he said, this is the least gifted team I've ever coached.
That's
which
exactly
is like,
right.
Well, I mean, okay, so they're not
you
as gifted as
players.
Other teams. Yeah, I mean,
you recruit the players.
What are your players supposed to say? It's like, all right, well, coach says we stink, so maybe this is spiraled out of control from there.
It's a bad year for Roy Williams. It's a bad year for that program, but it's been a really bad look for Roy Williams all year.
I remember the Matt Daugherty years, how awful that was, the back-to-back years there.
Bad.
Before they went and got Roy, this is like...
And look, Roy has been an amazing coach. I mean, he's won 3 titles at
there.
UNC, right?
Three titles
at UNC. So nobody could ever say that Roy has not been worth getting as their head coach, but he's never been a beloved head coach around the country the same way some of the other guys. Like, people love Izzo way more than they love Roy. And Roy has won 3 championships. I think Roy comes off as a phony a lot of the times. People don't feel like he's real. But this has just been a really bad-looking year for Roy up and down.
And there's no sign of it getting better.
No, the season's almost over.
Right. But they're finding new ways to lose. It's pretty incredible. On to the NBA. The Rockets are reportedly going to sign veterans Damari Carroll and Jeff Green. ESPN's reporting the Cavaliers are discussing the possibility of parting ways with head coach John Beilein in the middle of his first season. And Kyrie Irving's been elected as VP of the Players Association, replacing Pau Gasol.
Oof, would you want Kyrie leading your Players Association? Those are some tough meetings to listen to. What are you talking about, Kyrie? What?
We just want more money.
Yeah. I wouldn't want Kyrie leading me anywhere into a business meeting. Nothing. Do not negotiate my contract, sir.
No. From baseball, here's Dodgers infielder Justin Turner taking aim at Commissioner Rob Manfred for not punishing the Astros players over sign stealing.
So now anyone who goes forward and cheats to win a World Series, they can live with themselves knowing that, oh, it's okay. You know, it's just going to be, you know, we'll cheat in the World Series and bring the title back to L.A. and, you know, screw Dave Roberts and screw Andrew. Like, it's just those guys losing their job. Like, I still get to be called a champion the rest of my life.
Justin Turner on Spectrum Sportsnet LA. Meanwhile, Mike Trout also wanted Astros players to be punished and said the guys around the league have lost respect for him. NHL, the Lightning keep on rolling. 11 straight wins, a franchise record, as they beat the Avalanche in overtime 4-3. Nikita Kucherov scored the game winner in OT. Alex Ovechkin again, no points. 5 straight games, he's stuck on 698 goals. The Capitals lost to the Golden Knights 3-2. And now.
Yes.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
I do 38 updates a morning when I fill in for Bogus, and this by far, the non-sports update, is my most favorite part of my day.
You know, it's nice to break it up a little bit with usually crazy things that happen in Florida.
And that's where we're going again.
Oh,
we're going,
yeah.
We're going to Miami because peacocks are wreaking havoc on one neighborhood.
Really?
In Coconut Grove. They are traveling in packs of 20 to 40.
Peacocks.
Peacocks. They're mating into the night. They're pooping in large piles, and they're causing property damage. Here's a quote from one resident. I love this. I don't want to remain forgotten in a filthy, dirty peacock land. As hostage to a group of birds, I think that is more than unfair.
A filthy, dirty peacock land?
In Miami.
Peacocks are known as, like, the most beautiful bird.
They're gorgeous.
Those feathers come out all colorful, and they're not allowed to poop on your lawn? I mean, get over yourself, a Coconut Grove.
And that's what's created debate in this neighborhood, because some people like how nice they are. It's something different. They look nice.
Yeah.
But others are like, wait a minute. They're pooping all over the place. They're mating into the night, keeping me up. They're eating plants in our gardens, and they're also scratching cars because, as one commissioner says, that peacocks see their reflection on the side of a car, they mistake it for a rival, and they attack the car with their
feet. Wow!
And don't already, mess with Miami Peacock.
Already that car is a tougher opponent than Tom Brady's had in the AFC East his whole career.
So, the city commissioners have gotten together. They voted. They are going to relocate the peacocks,
but
apparently.
But how do you do that? You load them up in a truck and drop them in Tampa?
There is a humane way to do it,
really?
Apparently, that they're going to look into to move these peacocks or relocate them somewhere else.
Okay, so number one, I love the idea of the first guy you quoted suggesting that somehow Miami and Coral or Coconut Grove was going to turn into like a peacock dystopia. Like just this awful, wretched moonscape with just aggressive peacocks ruining everything.
Lost the Peacock Edition.
But a peacock on the front porch having a cigarette when you drive through there, like, do not stop in Coconut Grove.
No. That's the Peacock Trailer Park. You don't want that.
The alternate universe, like in Back to the Future 2.
Yeah, the alternate Peacock 1985.
The peacocks there are shopping in the local Publix.
Number two, I always assume peacocks are not native to Florida, right? So I would think that they would only be healthy and able to live in a zoo where somebody could feed them. Can you imagine peacocks,
I mean, warm there,
living on their own? But what are they eating?
Plants. They're eating everybody's plants. They're walking around, hostile plant, let me eat it.
I mean, apparently there's healthy poop all over this neighborhood, so that whatever they're eating, it's...
I would have thought that the peacocks would have to be given, like, specific insects from Asia or something like that. Peacocks can just eat your tomato garden?
Yes. You ever go to a game farm, you feed them seeds. They can find the seeds. You feed them the same stuff the goats are eating.
So they're like chickens?
Yes.
So it's a roving band of peacocks that are infiltrating Coconut Grove.
Wherever they go, there better not be any mirrors or reflections, because clearly they'll just start a war.
And here's the question, like, how much do they poop that it's that big a deal? Like, we have wild turkeys in all parts of the Northeast, and their poop doesn't end up, like, ruining sidewalks.
No, but that's the thing. I'm sure they go, and I'm sure you see the quote-unquote bombs, if you will, all over the sidewalks. But, like, when towns and jurisdictions hear about that, that's when they take it serious. Because if you just say, they're eating my plants, then everybody's going to be like, stop it with the peacocks. But if you bring up, well, they're defecating all over the sidewalk, even if it's not a lot, like, that's going to be the trigger to get people to commit action.
Stop it with the peacocks.
Right. And they're beautiful animals. Leave them alone. I'd love a peacock.
I agree. I totally agree. Relocate them to my hometown. I want, where I live, to have a roving band of 20 peacocks.
And so what if a random Honda Civic has a dent in the windshield? It's worth it because they're pretty.
And you have insurance.
Peacock insurance.
Peacock insurance. Flow.
The Limu Emu insurance definitely would work on peacocks. That is stunned to a news. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter. DA on CBS at a Trash Tuesday. Rob tweets in the 321, I'm going to reverse trash. Props to Gary and Dan of the Magic Kingdom for going above and beyond. My daughter, whose birthday was yesterday, wanted the ears. Those two called every retailer in the Magic Kingdom, and she got the last pair of ears in the park. Customer service at its best. Let's play the trash sounder, but know that Gary and Dan of the Magic Kingdom deserve the opposite of this.
Oh, break out the hazmat suit.
Hemsky in Tucson tweets, good morning, Brett Heller voice. DA, trashing drivers who see a lane is closed from way back and continue to drive in the lane that merges until they cannot go any further without squeezing in. You saw the sign and said, screw you, I'm selfish. Hashtag, that's baloney.
Ooh, that garbage bag is leaking.
And by the way, Pete the Body has weighed in on being the subject of the poll question, today's poll question, who's the more annoying character, Flo or Pete the Body? Pete has weighed in. Just to clarify, I'm on this poll, but the overweight tub of Jell-O who couldn't keep quiet with his, quote, hot takes on his leave of absence isn't. The staff awaits his premium content. Now back to my vacation, DA.
Are those maggots?
A little off.
Pete the Body just suplexed you, bro.
Great. I'm sure he's enjoying Montauk in 19-degree wind chills.
The one that looks like you, but yeah. A little off?
Yeah, Pete, yeah.
Quote, the one that looks like you but is a little off. That is what Mraz's mother-in-law said about Pete. Dixieland Dan is next up on a Trash Tuesday, listening on radio.com at Oxford, Mississippi. Good morning, Dixieland Dan.
What's up, DA, brother? How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How you doing?
Oh, I'm making it, my friend. Look, I got a call and give a little trash to all this Mraz hate that's going on. Look, some of it is deserved. Everybody needs a little bit of criticism every now and then. But nobody needs this much, man. And here's what's going to happen. Mraz is eventually going to snap. And whenever he does, sorry, he is going to pick up Billy Jockalone and Brad Heller, tie them together by the ankles, and run through the office beating people with a human nunchuck upside the head. And ain't nobody going to be able to say a thing about it because it's going to be deserved after all this hate and everything. It's been going on.
All right, trash. Trash the trashers of Mraz.
That's garbage, and we're not talking about the band.
Who would make the best secondary chuck to Billy Jockalone's human nunchucks?
I think Brad Heller plays a little long. He's a little tall, I think. I need a similar. I bet you Tom DeCelestino. He's a little thicker than Jockalone, but they're similar height, so I think that would be an even nunchuck.
D-Cell was Thursday's producer right. That took out his frustration on you.
Sure, exactly, with an awful jacket, just an awful jacket that he wore.
But two Jockalones would be perfect, because Jockalone weighs in at probably 5'6",
right, and back
maybe
in,
140.
And back in the overnight, we realized that I was 2.5 Jockalones.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jockalone, he is the size of the end of a nunchuck, so, I mean, Dixieland Dan has it right. It's finding that other even side.
So if you were 2.5 Jockalones and you used to weigh 270?
Yes.
Oh, man. So he's like 110 pounds.
Look at him. Look at him. If he's 110 pounds, he's 30 in the head and 80 everywhere else.
So he's about 5'5", 5'6", 110.
I would say he's 5'6". Yeah. People have said he looks a lot like Sam Cassell. That is what's been said about Billy Jockalone, to give you an idea.
I don't see the Sam Cassell.
People believe same face. Head.
I don't see it at all.
People have made that reference in the past.
And Billy Jockalone has filled in on this show on the Wheels of Steel,
yes,
and is a newsroom producer that does all the CBS Sports Minutes.
Bust his hump. Works very hard.
Yep. When we come back here on the show, we've got your best audio of the day, including the Gresh Show taking shots at us. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Welcome back to the DA Show. You can watch at watchda.com. It's available on any device, anywhere. Watch us every morning. Watchda.com. That's on your phone, your tablet, your PC, your desktop, or your smart TV. Yesterday morning on WFAN in New York, on Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio, they want Al Dukes, their producer, to grab what is sitting behind me in the studio, my oversized cartoon head that we use here for WatchDA.com.
No. What is DA, Drake? Can you go get it? Let me see what it looks like.
Yeah. It's a big cartoon.
Go get that. Let me see you that. Guys,
well, actually, he's on the air. It's in his studio.
Yeah, go get it.
Who cares?
Just so, can I ask him if I could borrow it?
It'll be a bit. Yes, no, just go take it.
Al Dukes is walking
in and just grabbing
yes.
it.
Yeah, don't say anything. Al's going to screw it up. He's going to be like, excuse me, this is for... Just go in and take it.
We want him to be impolite.
Is there a way to get the audio up?
Of CBS Sports
Radio.
Are
we allowed to do that? I mean, we, right? It's our company.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio. There's a bald man who is stealing my cartoon cardboard cutout as we speak. Fat Marash is enabled.
Here on the show is Quentin Richardson. Q Rich, how you doing, man?
Q. I'm good.
He just got it. Al just got the thing.
It's like. Right here, so I guess there was no reaction.
Yeah, right. Doing some boring sports interview, and Al's just jacking the stuff out of the studio. There you go.
I like when Gio does my impersonation. That was kind of like a half impersonation because there was so much else going on. So they brought that in, the cartoon head, to see if they could build a cartoon head for their update guy, Jerry Recco.
Right, because he calls Rutgers basketball games, and he calls them apparently a lot of times by himself, so they want to put a cartoon head next to him. That was apparently the gist, but they were able to take our audio as we go on, and it happened to be during the Quentin Richardson interview. They were hoping it'd be normal conversation, and you'd be able to talk about, you know, mid-segment Al walking in.
Yeah, I couldn't break away from Quentin Richardson.
No, you could not. We were locked in there.
Andy Gresh filled in last night on the evening show. Well, I guess the night show, 10 p.m. until 2 a.m. Eastern time here on CBS Sports Radio. And there felt like there was some significant anti-DA and anti-Mraz backlash between him and Jay Berman.
One of the guys who is also part of the Let's Mess with Mraz movement is one Jay Berman. And I think Jay can confirm, as being a longtime employee here of CBS Sports Radio, that the person who definitely gets everyone to rally together, united against a common cause, are people railing against Mraz.
Yeah, it's an easy target, but that's the way it should be because he asks for it.
He really does. I mean, in some of the stuff that he tweets, again, he's either an idiot or a bigger idiot than I thought.
Both.
Yeah, I would agree. No question about it. Is he back tomorrow on the DA show?
One of the pleasures of my shift is that I don't ever have to see those guys. So I honestly don't know. I have no idea.
Huh. Well, how much truth is there? Does Berman really enjoy not seeing us?
I think he does. No, you know what? I think he enjoys seeing us and laughing with us in the newsroom. What he doesn't enjoy is when he becomes topic and show fodder on here. So I think he believes that one of the pleasures is he's not going to be a part of the nonsense here and have to be slinging arrows and taking the tweets from listeners.
Right.
Because let's be honest, that has become a part. There are people who probably don't like our show that work here because it just becomes a disaster for them on social media.
Well said.
I always say, take your work seriously, but not yourself seriously. And I think that you have to be able to be lighthearted about yourself to be around us. Because
sure.
Everything is a pot shot.
No question.
Everything is tear the other people
Gotta
down.
Gotta have thick skin to play in this town.
Easy for me to say.
And, you know, I'm a big Jay Berman guy. I've always really got along with Jay well. He's come over my place for parties, and we've gone out and had beers. I get along with Jay. I'd be disappointed if he really didn't like seeing us, but I guess it wouldn't surprise me because I do think that he got shell-shocked a little bit by being dragged into our constant show fighting.
And, yeah, and it's happened to him about 8 million times, PGP, stuff like that. He just got tired of it. He would rather Peter Schwartz take all the abuse and not Jay Berman. That's the way he looks at it.
Speaking of...
my baby daddy, Peter Schwartz.
I have a concept in my mind about an upcoming segment. I'm not going to talk about it now, but just know I've got something cooking when it comes to Peter Schwartz that we have an ongoing bit to get to that maybe I'll debut later on in the week. When we come back, Rob Manfred losing credibility by the minute.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.